But it'll also be a message that kind of teaches how to discern the Word of God. How are we to discern the Word of God? It has already been written by the prophets and by the apostles. And it's by this written word that any new revelation or teaching that's ever taught is to be filtered through. This book exalts Abba, Father God, His Son Yeshua, and the Spirit of the living God. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so God desires us to think. He does not say, follow Him with blind faith. He's given us a mind to think. Just says His thoughts are above our thoughts. That's why He sent us the Spirit, so that we would be able to discern when it's our thought or the thought of someone else, or these the thoughts of God. So let us begin. Today's message is entitled The Shekinah, some people pronounce it Shekinah, of Yeshua is revealed. Turn with me now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, we'll beginning at verse 1. And so what does the word Shekinah or Shekinah mean? It means this: God's manifest glorious presence. All right? There are times when we sense it and we do not see it. But there are times when Abba, Father God, and Yeshua, and the Spirit of the living God has revealed His true light. And it's undeniable to everyone. So let us begin in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. 6 days later, Yeshua took Kepha, who's Peter, and Yaakov, James, and his brother Yohanan, John, and led them up on the high mountain privately. And as they watched, He began to change form. His face shone like the sun, and His clothing became white as light. Then they looked and saw Moshe, Moses, and Eliyahu, Elisha, speaking with Him. Kepha said to Yeshua, "It is good that we are here, Lord. I will put up 3 shelters, if you want. One of them for you, one of them for Moshe, Moses, and one of them for Eliyahu." While He was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. Another part of the Trinity is being revealed here, this cloud. Let's continue here. It enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, how many of you ever heard a cloud speak? I have not, all right? This is unusual, okay? So continuing, and the cloud, what did the cloud say? This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. What other occasion in the life of Yeshua these words were proclaimed? But at His mikvah, when Yohanan caused Yeshua to go underneath the waters, and He raised up. Remember, there was a proclamation? Continuing. When the Talmudim, the disciples, heard this, they were so frightened that they fell on their faces down on the ground. I would do likewise if I heard a cloud speaking to me that was bright and glowing. But Yeshua came and touched them. He said, "Get up," He said, "don't be afraid." So they opened their eyes and they looked up and saw only Yeshua by Himself. And as they came down the mountain, Yeshua ordered them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." How many leaders, spiritual leaders today, would want that to be hidden? But Yeshua came as what? The servant. He came to serve Abba, Father God, and to serve mankind as their Redeemer. Continuing. Verse 10, the Talmudim, the disciples, asked Him, "Then why do the Torah teachers say that Eliyahu must come first?" He answered, "On one hand, Eliyahu is coming, and He will restore all things. On the other hand, I tell you that Eliyahu has already come, and the people did not recognize Him, but did whatever they pleased to him. In the same way, the Son of Man, too, is about to suffer at their hands. Then it goes on to say, then the Talmudim understood that he was talking to them about Yohanan, John, the baptizer or the immerser, okay? And I want to now point something out to you. Who were the three that were with Yeshua up on that mountain? Was it Matthew? Matthew? No. So he's getting secondhand information, all right? And so this is a testimony, and how do we know it's true? Because who inspired Matthew to write the gospel, the good news of Matthew? But the Spirit of the living God. He wrote everything that the Spirit of the living God told him to. And so today, as we look to two other testimonies of the transfiguration, the Shekinah, the glorious presence of Yeshua being revealed as part of the Godhead, we will hear from two others who were not there. But in likeness, they wrote these good news. They would be Mark and Luke. And remember, they were not there. The other nine were not there. Mark is not numbered with the original 12, and neither is Luke. All right? And so with the same inspiration and the leading of the Spirit of the living God, and that's why sometimes when we read Scripture, it appears to contradict itself, but it does not, because each one of these individuals, whoever was the scribe that wrote these Scriptures down for us, were led by the inspiration of the Spirit of the living God, and it balances one another. There are times when we hear a story and we think we know it, but today we're going to dig a little bit deeper, and you'll notice there's a variance of the story, all right? Because what they're being led here is by the Spirit of the living God to write what is to be written and to hold back what is to be revealed at a later date. So let's turn to Mark chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. Mark 9, 1 through 13. Here is another individual who wasn't one of the original 12, but he was inspired by God to write the good news. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. Yes, he, Yeshua, went on, I tell you that there are some people standing here who will not experience death until they see the kingdom of Abba, Father God, come in a powerful way. Now, some people have assumed, well, these people will be living up until the day of the second coming of Messiah. But that's a false interpretation. Okay? So let us continue here. 6 days later, Yeshua took Kepha, who is Peter, Yaakov, who is Jacob, and Yohanan, John, and led them up on the mountain privately. And as they watched, he began to change form. And his Yeshua's clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could possibly bleach them. Now, did Matthew talk about bleach? Absolutely not. See, here's another insight. It's the same story, but the Spirit desired to give certain information at a certain time because he knew this. He wanted us to know the whole story. How do we learn God's word is true? Scripture upon scripture complements one another. And the fullness of the truth and the revelation is revealed. Scripture upon written scripture. Okay, so let us continue. Verse 4, then they saw Eliyahu and Moses, or Moshe, speaking with Yeshua. Kepha said to Yeshua, it is good, we're here, Rabbi. Let us put three shelters, one for you, one for Moshe, and one for Eliyahu. And look now closely at verse 6. He didn't know what to say, and they were so frightened. Have you ever been so terrified that all of a sudden crazy words start coming out your mouth? All right? That was the state of mind that Kepha was in. Can we identify with Kepha, Peter? Absolutely. You ever have times where your mouth just runs away from you? You'd like to go ahead and grab those words and stuff them back in? This is a situation that he's having right now, okay? So let us continue here. It's beautiful to identify with these people, right? Verse 7, then a cloud enveloped them, and a voice came out of the cloud and said, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Notice in Matthew, it says, this is the one whom I love, and also to listen to him. And this is a gentle rebuke to Kepha, because you know what he does? He gets beside himself and he can't stop speaking. He's always the first one, what, to leap out of the boat? He's always the first one to speak. He speaks without thinking. Have you ever done that? I've done that many times, and some of you can testify that you've seen me do it, all right? So let's continue, verse 8. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Yeshua. As they came down from the mountain, he, Yeshua, warned them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves. This was difficult for Kepha, right? Hey, you other nine, guess what Jacob and John and I saw? We're a part of Yeshua's inner circle, and you're not. But he said, you be silent. And it came to the Father. It had to take the Father, and we see a change in Kepha's life in that he's now listening more before he speaks. So let's continue here. So they kept the matter to themselves, but they continued asking each other, what is this rising of the dead? See, this is a revelation to them. Why? Because they believe this, that Yeshua very, very soon was going to declare himself as the son of David, the heir to the throne of King David, and that he and his Talmudim were going to walk into Jerusalem, and there he was going to set up his millennial reign immediately. But you know what? They had things out of context here. Okay, so we have to understand it from their mindset, what's going on here, okay? So they didn't understand about this raising the dead thing, all right? Verse 11, they also asked him, why do the Torah teachers say that Eliyahu has to come first? Eliyahu will indeed come first. He, Yeshua, answered, and he will restore everything. Nevertheless, why is it written in the Tanakh that the Son of Man must suffer and much he must be rejected? There's more to it, I tell you, that Eliyahu has come, and that they did whatever they pleased to him, just as the Tanakh says about him. All right? So here we've gotten even more revelation, right, of a person who was not an eyewitness there. Can we trust Scripture to reveal the truth of the events that have happened? Absolutely, because we know this. These individuals who were not eyewitnesses there, and in a court of law, that would not hold up. But in God's court, his witness is whom? The Ruach, who will never tell a lie. And he shall lead us into what? Into all truth. Let's now go to Luke chapter 9. Here is the third revelation of the transfiguration of Yeshua, okay? Luke chapter 9. And beginning at verse 29, and he was praying. Who was praying? Yeshua was praying. Matthew didn't tell us that. Matthew didn't say that. Mark didn't say that. And then it says that the appearance of his face changed and his clothing became gleaming white. And suddenly there were two men talking with him, Moshe and Eliyahu. And they appeared in glorious splendor and spoke of his exodus. Wait a second. Matthew didn't talk about them, you know, that they were talking in detail. And they're speaking about what? His exodus. Are you talking about the exodus out of the book of Exodus? No, that they talked about his upcoming death and trial and his resurrection. Because Moshe, when he spoke, he was pointing that there was going to be one day the promised Mashiach. And he, you will know him, because when you see him, he will be like a prophet like I am to the people. You see here? And who else was there? Eliyahu. And what do we do every Pesach, every Passover? We set a place for Eliyahu to come. And where's that taken out of? That's taken out of Malachi chapter 4 that says this, and Yeshua declares this to them. All right. He simply says that Eliyahu, Elijah, will bring everything together. What's the bringing together? The hearts of the fathers to the children and the children's hearts to the fathers. Okay. Who started that process? Who came in the spirit and the power of Eliyahu, Elijah? But Yohanan the Immerser. because he was bringing what? The nation of Israel to fruits of repentance. So let us continue here. Suddenly there were two men talking with him, Moshe and Eliyahu, and they appeared in glorious splendor and spoke of his exodus, which he was soon to accomplish in Jerusalem. And Kepha and those with him had been sound asleep. Wait a second. Matthew didn't say that. Mark didn't say that. But who is inspiring Luke to write this? The Spirit of the living God who leads us on all truth, whom we can trust. Okay? But becoming fully awake, remember they've been sleeping, they saw his Yeshua Shekinah, his glorious presence, the presence of God. Because they knew this, that no one had this presence unless they were part of the Godhead. And notice, if you look at the scripture closely, Moshe and Eliyahu, there was a glory about them. But it was darkened and compared to the brightness of the revelation of who Yeshua was. And you may say, well, why didn't the other nine see this? Yeshua knew what these three needed to see and to give testimony to in the future. There are times when we need to have the presence and the appearance of the Lord in our lives. We may not necessarily see him. There are believers that have seen his literal presence. And there are others of us who have sensed his presence. And it's been undeniable to us. So the Shekinah, his glorious presence of God, and the glory of the two men standing with Yeshua, because what they were walking in, the power and the presence that is in Yeshua. So continuing, verse 33, as the men, Moshe and Eliyahu, were leaving, okay, as they're leaving, Matthew didn't tell us about this, neither did Mark. As they were leaving, Kepha said to him, Yeshua, not knowing what he was saying, okay, it is good that we're here, Rabbi. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moshe, one for Eliyahu. And he spoke, and a cloud came and it enveloped them, and they were frightened as they entered into the cloud. And the voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son in whom I've chosen. What is that a reference to? The time when Yeshua went underneath the waters and he went through his mikvah. All right? And the second portion there, the one who I've chosen and I've loved. Okay? Listen to him. Notice this. He is greater than Moshe and he's greater than Eliyahu. Listen to him. He is my literal representation, speaking of Yeshua, Jesus our Messiah, of who the Father is and the redemption of all people. Continuing, verse 36, when the voice spoke, Yeshua was alone once more. They all kept quiet, including Kepha. I added that. At that time, he told them, don't tell anyone anything what you have seen. Now, do we believe that this encounter of these three chosen individuals were now listening with greater interest? What did Rav Shaul, what happened had to happen with him? On the road to Damascus, he saw what? The presence of God, undeniable, because it was daytime. And he heard a voice. Shaul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know the rest, okay? Because I got to make this brief today. So it's not unheard of. And out of the voice, what was said, I am Yeshua. All right? See how this all ties together, line upon line, scripture upon scripture, the written word of God we can believe in, and also the discernment and the revelation that the Spirit of living God gives to each and every one of us, both corporately and individual. Okay? So continuing, the transfiguration. In this transfiguration, Yeshua was transformed in the presence of his three Talmudim, and they saw his heavenly glory as he really was in heaven. not the fullness of its magnitude, because I believe this, that they probably would have died of total fear. As it says in the scripture, our God is what? He's an all-consuming fire. That's speaking about Abba, Father God. And if you study the scriptures, it declares this, no one has seen the Father but the Son. See, that's what the scripture says. So through this experience of transfiguration, it was an encouragement to Yeshua that he was facing, all right? Because God had to deal with what? And this may sound a little dangerous, I go down this path now, but Yeshua was both human and God, right? All the things that we feel as a human, Yeshua experienced, okay? But he was at the same time God. And so this was a confirmation of who he was to three of his Talmudim that would be there later, that when Yeshua died and later rose from the dead, that's when they were able, they were released to share the story with the nine. And then Luke heard about it. Matthew heard about it. And Mark heard about it. And it was confirmed in all these things. The second is an announcement to the Talmudim that Yeshua had to suffer on the execution stake, which is the cross. This was a whole brand new revelation there. Was it in the scriptures? Absolutely. Read Psalm 22. All right? It declares his death. But they did not see it because they had to have further revelation by what? The word of God. Okay? Third, it was an endorsement by Abba, Father God, that Yeshua was his son and the only one qualified to redeem the human race. There is no other way but through whom? Yeshua, in him alone, okay? So, I have this question to everyone. Were Moshe and Eliyahu, were they in their resurrected bodies? No. Moshe's bones were still where? On Mount Horeb. And I'll check my notes here so I will not... I'm going to mention now Davarim, Deuteronomy, and this is what it says. Moshe, the servant of Adonai, died in the land of Moab, as Adonai had said, and in verse 6, he was buried in the valley across from Beit Peor in the land of Moab, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. God, Yeshua himself, buried Moshe, and no monument that the children of Israel could use to create another idol of worship. So where did Moshe come from? All right? He was in his soul realm, okay? Because his bones did not enter into. Because Yeshua had not died, so how could he be raised from the dead? Okay? We have to think about these things, do we not? So he came in soul form, okay? And you know what they say about our soul? It's an exact copy as you see us today, all right? And so with that, he was in soul form, and he came from Abraham's side, Abraham's bosom, all right? Because Yeshua had not died upon the tree, hasn't raised from the dead, so he could not go and proclaim that he is the promised Messiah to all those who believe what Moshe and Eliyahu said about the coming prophet, the Redeemer and Messiah, okay? So was Eliyahu walking in a resurrected body? No. Why? Because what does the scripture say? It says this, that when Elisha and Eliyahu were walking, Eliyahu said to him, one day I'm going to be taken from you. And he asked what? To receive the Spirit, the anointing, more than one time upon himself. And so when they were talking one day, what happened? But a chariot of fire and horses came from the heavens, and it separated the two. And Eliyahu stood in there, and he went up into heaven. And what did Elisha say? He said, my fathers, the horsemen of Israel, okay? And he ascended into heaven, all right? So he was in his present state. Talk about longevity, all right? Is Eliyahu the longest living believer ever? No. Enoch. Enoch. He's another person who has not died. But it says this, in the cool of the evening, when he was walking with the Lord, Yeshua, he was not because he was taken, all right? So here is two men, okay? All right? Is Enoch a Jew? No. He's not. Why? Because it's before the rite of circumcision. Okay? So here we have a representative of the Gentile community, the nations. And here we have a representative of who? The Jewish people, Eliyahu. Okay? Two men who have never died. Okay? You want to understand a little bit deeper about the one new man, Jews and Gentiles being one in Messiah? Here's two representatives here. Okay? Was Enoch circumcised? No. All right? Was Eliyahu? Yes. Did Eliyahu live under the law of Moshe? Yes. Did Enoch? No. Why? Because he lived under the revelation of what? Adam and others that came before. See, God's provision is there, but we have to be able to think for ourselves, right? So now going very, very quickly here. In Devarim, Deuteronomy 18:15, for Moshe said, Adonai will rise up to you a prophet like me from among your brothers, and you are to listen to everything he tells you. Tim shared about this today. Everyone who fails to listen to that prophet will be removed from the people and destroyed. So the transfiguration confirmed Yeshua's coming in his kingdom, all right, was about to be birthed. And they had the revelation of that kingdom because they knew that when they heard and they saw that Yeshua died, they were there to what? To comfort their brothers. Can you imagine as they were locked up and they were hiding from the Romans and the Pharisees and scribes? Okay. That soon after Miriam came and shared with them, he's no longer there. Yohanan and Kepha, what did they do? They ran to go see. All right? And so when they got back together, they probably shared that testimony upon the Mount of Transfiguration. So continuing here. Now about the Torah teachers. Say Eliyahu must come first. Yeshua did not deny that because it was out of Malachi. This teaching is based on Malachi 3:1 and 3:23-24 and 4:5-6. And is kept in Judaism every Passover at the Seder meal when an extra plate is set for Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet, and a door is open to welcome him, should he be there, okay? So I'm going to wrap this up very, very quickly now. 3 points. Yohanan the Immerser, if you're willing to accept it, was Eliyahu. This is from Yeshua's own lips. Does Yeshua tell lies? Absolutely not. Continuing, point number 2. Eliyahu himself had in fact come first by appearing there on the mountain. Okay? He appeared on the mountain in his bodily form, not resurrected, but his bodily form. And I tell you, this is a quagmire that goes on in my mind. Okay? How can two individuals, okay, be in heaven that still have a carnal nature, all right? Because after Yeshua rose from the dead, okay, all right? And when Eliyahu, who has never died, he's up there, and Enoch has been up there, all right? And God has allowed them to keep their carnal nature in check so they could be in the presence in heaven, okay? And that's a mystery. I don't fully understand that, but that's the fact, and there it is, okay? So now continuing here. Lastly, Eliyahu will appear before Yeshua's second coming. If you look at Revelation 11, 3-6, okay? And I debate with people on this. It talks about two witnesses, does it not? Yeah. All right? What a better, and this is for your thought. This is for your searching the scriptures. What a better way to unite one man, Jew and Gentile, in Messiah, but to have the representative of a godly man who walked before the Lord, and it was so much that the Lord delighted him that he took him home with him, Enoch, okay? And another man who walked before the Lord, wasn't perfect, neither men are, okay? And he, the Lord couldn't sustain it anymore, so he took him. So he sent a chariot of fire and horses to bring him up to heaven. And these, what does the scripture say? All people must die. And there's the judgment. So how is God going to honor his word if he does not allow these two living souls who've been in his presence for all this time to come during the last days in Jerusalem? And it says that they all have power and authority. And I want you to read that because I have to move here quickly, okay? And so here, if you want to turn quickly with me to John chapter 1, and you maybe say, why didn't the Lord allow these living witnesses to proclaim the truth? And he did. But you know what? They did not do a major portion on this. And so if you'd like to turn with John chapter 1 and verse 14, Yohanan declares this, and this may give you more insight. This is John, Yohanan, chapter 1, verse 14. The Word, I added Yeshua, became a human being, and he lived among us. And we saw his Shekinah, the Shekinah glory. Who was a witness, a literal witness there? But Yohanan, okay? So there's verse 14 there. Continuing, the Shekinah of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Now, if you want to turn quickly to 2 Kepha, which is 2 Peter 1, 16 through 19. And I'll begin because of our brevity of time. For when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, we did not rely on cunningly contrived myths. On the contrary, we saw his majesty with our own eyes. What's he talking about? But the transfiguration, all right? For we were there, and we received honor and glory from Abba, Father God. He received honor and glory. Who is the He? Yeshua. And the voice came to him from the grandeur of the Shekinah. What was the presence of the Father being revealed? The cloud. Saying, this is my Son in whom I love, and I am well pleased. With him. We heard his voice and came out of heaven. The cloud represents heaven. When we were with him on the holy mountain. So what is Kepha talking about here? He's talking about that place, that occasion, that testimony, okay? And just think about this. This is many years later. I'm sure he shared it, but here it is written down as a literal testimony, just like Yohanan's, okay? Finishing very, very quickly. Yes, we have the prophetic made very certain. Do you hear that? Why? Because it's scripture upon written scripture that fulfills what the scripture has said. You can trust this book. This book, the Bible, is your filter. All revelation, all testimonies, all prophecies have to align with this book. If it doesn't line up, it's not the Lord. It's of man. Okay, so continuing here. The word made certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it. A light shining in dark and murky place until the dawn of the morning star rises in your hearts. Who's the morning star? Yeshua, all right? Shabbat shalom.